Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey everybody, this is Ali Ciardo, and today I'm talking with Tara Munter from Tara Lee's Photography, and this is actually our second time recording this conversation because months ago we recorded this really great conversation, and then a nice embarrassing crash and burn on my computer. I lost the file. So hopefully we don't have that happen again. So Tara, I'm going to start with your story and your background, and then we'll kind of get into the specifics of the topic today. So start by just telling me how you got into photography and how it became your career.
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story, and I always laugh a little bit when people ask me that question because it was never, ever something I planned. I was always kind of an average student. I was like a big jock, like three sport athlete my whole life. So when I was in high school, it kind of got to the time where I needed to pick where I wanted to go to college, and I didn't even know what I wanted to major in. The only thing I even thought of was athletic training just because I loved sports so much, but I knew I was not good at science, so that was kind of out of the question. But I was always very artistic, and I was always kind of that friend that was taking pictures in our group, like at football games and stuff like that. So it kind of turned into touring schools as far as sports goes. And then from there, I kind of just figured I'll just do business classes and kind of figure it out from there. And I wasn't too worried right away because I knew I was just going to be doing generals anyway. So I ended up going to school in Mankato, Minnesota for 2 years. So played basketball, did my generals, and then kind of got into business a little bit. But that first year, I ended up taking a film photography class, honestly, just because I thought it sounded fun. And from there, I kind of just learned the basics, which is really cool. So I look back, and I shoot all digital now, but I got to learn like the film and creating the images in the darkroom and all of that. So that was really, really cool to have that as a firm background. From there, they didn't really offer anything else along that field at the school I was going to. So I kind of just had to make a decision of like, do I keep playing basketball? Do I keep kind of my whole life of sports going, or do I switch it up because this is something I'm passionate about? So after my sophomore year, I decided to transfer because I found a school that offered it and I was really passionate about it at that point. So after that first year of doing the film class, I went and just bought a small DSLR. I started taking pictures of my friends, which I think is how a lot of people say they started. And it was really cool because I just kind of created the Facebook page just to have a place to post my work, never having the intention of like, I can run a business. I honestly never even thought I would be smart enough to handle that. And it just kind of grew from there. Like, even when I was booking sessions with seniors or families or whatever I was doing at the time, I never had in my head like, this is what I want to do, or this is, I'm going to create a business. It was just a fun thing for me. And so I feel really blessed that it kind of turned into this thing unintentionally. And now it's my full-time job. I mean, I get to stay home and hang out with my pups all day while I edit people's photos and then go hang out with awesome couples. So it's really amazing how God kind of guides us on those paths. And I just feel really blessed that that's kind of how I ended up.
So you were studying photography, but you didn't necessarily think that that meant that's what you were going to do as a business. Did you think you would go out and look for a job in it? What did you expect? What was your expectation at that point? Or you didn't know?
It was weird because I had started that page and kind of started shooting more of my friends and whatnot on like my freshman year of college. And so then by the start of my junior year, I actually did one full year of marketing, and then my senior year, I did one full year of photography. So when I got to that senior year, that's when I was like, okay, this is, I think, what I want to do. But all the years in between, it was just kind of step by step. I felt like I was just called to do this, and I just kind of found my way slowly but surely, very slowly but surely. But it is really weird. I just kind of fell into it and it became such a passion of mine and I haven't looked back since. So.
Although it seems like you are maybe ahead of a lot of people. I didn't get into it till I was well into my career. So you were ahead of me. So quickly then, once you graduated from college, what did your path look like from there?
Yeah, so I actually didn't graduate. That's the other part of my story. I have like half a year to a year left credit-wise, I think. But I got to a point where I was going to school full time. I was in this long distance relationship. My now husband lived in Virginia. We were both working. I was working part time at Target and driving home Thursday to Sunday every single weekend to go photograph clients that were hiring me. And I kind of got to the point of like, why am I doing this to myself? My business was going in the direction I now wanted it to go. I didn't need to be working a part-time job. It was just for that safe factor. I hated going to school, going to work, coming home being exhausted, and then trying to edit photos. And on top of that, balance the relationship I was in. So it kind of turned into this like, I either need to do this or not. And my business was at a point where if I didn't quit my job and stop going to school, it wouldn't be where it is now. By doing these things, which I don't recommend to people to not finish school, but for me, it just was my story and just worked out that way. It just came to a point where I needed to make a decision on whether I wanted my business to flourish right now or whether I wanted it to later. And so that's just kind of how I hopped into the full time, but it has shown exponential growth since I decided to go full time, and I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, it sounds like you have no regrets on that one. Okay, so let's get into something that happened to you. I think it was a year ago, right around a year ago now, was it? Okay, so yeah. Tell that story about how you were going. Okay, well, I'll let you tell it. You were going along in your business, and then what happened?
Yeah, so it was in September of 2016, so just a little over a year ago. I realized that my anxiety was slowly kind of creeping up on me, and I had never really dealt with it in the past, but I had a sister who struggled with it really bad, so I never fully understood it, but I kind of saw what it did to somebody. And then kind of slowly through my college years, I felt it a little bit, but nothing too serious. And then in the past, like 2 years, it kind of got a little bit more and more. But because I had never had it or really understood it, you don't really know what's going on, I guess, at first is the best way to put it. So we, Alex and I, my husband, got engaged in July of 2016. Everything was literally a dream. I was on cloud nine. I mean, I was engaged, I was planning a wedding, my business was like skyrocketing, everything was great. And then in September, all of a sudden, I just had a severe panic attack, like woke up in the middle of the night, shaking, couldn't breathe. I mean, my whole world was just like shattered and rattled. And because of the severity of it, I was sick for about a month straight. So like I would wake up every morning so nauseous, couldn't even get through my day, couldn't leave my house. I mean, I was just a wreck. And that's a really hard thing to go to when you've never, I mean, for anyone at any time, but when you've never dealt with anything like that before, all you can think about is like, how am I going to live my life? How am I going to run my business? How am I going to be a wife to this man that loved one person and now I feel like I'm this whole other person? And so that was really, really hard for me. And I kind of just never knew how I was going to get out of it except for just time and prayer, honestly. So slowly but surely, after that first like month or two, I started to kind of feel like myself again. And from there, I just became like passionate about mental health, and I became passionate about like beating anxiety. Not necessarily that you can just make it go away, but overcoming it in a sense of like putting these things into action in my everyday life to just get through it and always choose joy. I'm a big advocate on just choosing joy. If something goes wrong, you have to think about all the things going great and that are amazing in your life, and it'll just balance it out. But I think it was really hard. And as a business owner, I think it's even harder because we're balancing this whole other side of life. I mean, my business is my baby, and feeling like I could not serve my clients well and couldn't do my job was the scariest thing to think. I mean, I couldn't help but think I had to quit my business. I couldn't help but think it was just going to crash and burn because I couldn't leave my house. Little did I know it was just the start of a new chapter in my life that God had for me. But it is really, it's a crazy thing to look back on now because I've come so far. I obviously struggle with anxiety too. I mean, I take a daily like light medication for it just so I can stay steady. But I mean, it's not the easiest thing to just like live day by day and be like, I'm overcoming it. I mean, I've put these systems into my life to help me with it, but you're never going to make it go away. It's not something you can cure or anything like that, but you can make it better. And so I've just been really passionate about helping other business owners especially kind of deal with that, which is why I started a lifestyle blog called Bloom and Wander, aside from my photography business. And it's funny because you would think, if I'm stressed out or have anxiety, why am I starting this whole new business? But it's just one of those things. I was so passionate about it that it actually helped me cope with it myself by helping other people. Writing about my story and sharing it out there in the world and on my little internet home and seeing how many women or just business owners in general were messaging me back or saying, like, thank you so much for sharing your story. I've gone through the same thing. That's what made me realize, like, I can do this and I can help other people do it. I'm not alone. I'm not the only one going through this. So it's just been a really hard and wonderful journey all at the same time.
And I think there's a few different angles. There's a few different reasons why I think it's important. A, I just think we need to talk about it because it exists. And, you know, whether you have experienced it to whatever level, maybe not to the level that you experienced it, but I think we all experience it to some degree. And even if you don't feel like you have major anxiety in your life, maybe you have someone in your life who does, and it's important to understand what they're going through so you can help them. And then also the other thing that I've just, even just today I was thinking about is this kind of societal pressure that we face as business owners. So I just today was reading an article by somebody that was something about how the true success comes from the person who puts in the hustle and the extra hours and will work from 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. And if you're not putting in more hours, you're never going to be a success. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till this person has kids and understands that, like, this is not life, first of all. But we're, you know, regardless, we're going to be getting these messages that, like, we're doing it wrong in one way or another. Like, there's so much out there that's going to tell us this is how you're supposed to do it. This is what you should be doing. You know, you're doing it wrong. So whether it comes from that external pressure, which I know I felt and has caused me some anxiety in the past, or from something internal, or just in kind of like trying to balance it all, it's going to happen at some point, most likely. I even personally last year, I could feel it in myself. Like, I could feel it in just that heaviness on my chest. And that's the only reason that I knew it was anxiety. I just couldn't get a full breath at one point. I like could not take in a full breath of air. And I recognized that it was absolutely, that was the only reason, like, that I knew it was anxiety. And so I found ways to cope with that and find balance in my life. But I think it's just, it's important to talk about this topic because there's, for every, you know, 100 articles about, like, how we need to hustle and what it takes to be successful and do this, do that, like, how many are there about actually being happy and finding balance in our lives and, you know, finding fulfillment and dealing with anxiety in a healthy way. So anyway, okay, so let's get into some of the ways when you did kind of face this in the first place. How did you start to cope with it? What got you just to the point of feeling like you could function again and get out there and meet with clients? And then from there, how have you, besides, you know, you said you take something daily, what are some of the things that you've done or that others have done for you that have helped you stay balanced and keep that anxiety from taking over your life?
Yeah, so I think when I was, like, in the thick of it all, like, really struggling, really not feeling well, not feeling like myself at all, and this obviously isn't for everyone, but prayer, just to start out, that just personally, that's just how I was raised, so that helps me a lot. It just makes me feel very comforted. But then once I started to be able to actually, like, go leave the house for a few hours or just, like, get myself up and ready in the morning, which really was a huge task to, like, be able to get to that point, just doing my research and figuring out what worked best for me. So for myself, it was like I needed to eat a little bit healthier. And that didn't mean I was going to put the pressure on myself of, like, dieting and eating great, but, like, sugar and unhealthy food can actually amplify our anxiety so much and we don't realize it. So I just started switching out a little bit here and there and just trying to eat a little bit healthier. From there, it was kind of like working out. So for me, I actually really enjoy working out. Obviously, it isn't everyone's, but even just finding something you like to do, I can't do the same thing every day. So I try to do different classes. So I'm at a gym where I can do, like, yoga one day and then Pilates another day, and then I can just do cardio and just switch it up, because that just makes me happy. And it might be hard to right away, but it just releases so much stress and tension that it does your body so much good, no matter if you like working out or not. And then from there, honestly, just surrounding yourself with the right people. My husband obviously is like the best thing in my life, and he's helped me tremendously with it, even from a standpoint of like, he doesn't understand it at all. But that's okay. He kind of asked me what he needed, what I needed him to do, and I kind of just helped him from there. And then from there, he was able to help me. And same with friendships. I have a lot of friends in just like my normal everyday life, but then I also have my business and creative industry friends, and both have helped me tremendously. But I think for myself, really those like people who know what I go through day to day, as in like running a business and just like the creative thinking and everything, hearing them be able to tell me they struggle with it too, and being able to help each other, it was almost like the more people we had, the stronger we all felt, feeling like we're not alone. And if I'm struggling with this, so-and-so can help me, and vice versa. So really, and I talk about this all the time, really just surrounding yourself with those like five people in your life that just make you a better person. You can't surround yourself with people that maybe stress you out or do things that cause anxiety, because that's only going to create an unhealthy relationship with that person, and it's going to make you feel that more. So those are like my main points. I think everyone needs to find their own things. For me, also just hobbies that I enjoy doing. So giving myself breaks during the workday. Sometimes I just take a break and I go to Target and walk around, because it genuinely just makes me happy. It helps me clear my head, whether I'm just stressed out or am feeling anxious about something. Being able to kind of tell the difference, and then doing something like that, or just taking a walk, or anything you like doing. Sometimes I think I find myself feeling anxious just because I work from home and I don't see anybody all day. So I'll go work at Starbucks for a day, and I'll feel so much better and so much more inspired. And it kind of just stems from like really just taking time to do things for yourself, taking time to realize this is what's happening in my body. This is how I'm feeling. What can I do to make it better for myself? So don't try to copy other things other people are doing. Figure it out for yourself, or kind of even with a friend, a support system.
And I also remember last time you mentioned essential oils, and I thought that was actually a really good one too. I like to just like diffuse nice things.
Essential oils. Oh my goodness. I was so skeptical because it was just one of those pyramid companies, and everyone was knocking on my Facebook inbox trying to sell them to me. But I don't know. One day I just saw one of my friends post about them, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get the starter kit. And honestly, they have changed my life. I have had a few times, even just within the past like year, where I felt really overwhelmed or like on the verge of a panic attack in a situation, and I just put a little stress away on my wrist and I'm good. I mean, it is no joke. Those things are magic. Yeah. Magic in a bowl.
No, I like it. I actually like, I don't like burning candles. I just like to like diffuse nice smells, and they're calming and they make me feel good. So I think that's a really good idea. It's a great thing to try. Okay, now, so as your business is today, how do you manage your business in a way where you feel like you are managing your anxiety, managing your clients, not getting overwhelmed? Have you put systems in place? What are you doing to manage?
Yeah, so I love systems. I need to have systems. I think I should start by saying I'm in no way like a perfect person, and I have days where I will literally stay in my pajamas all day and not leave my desk and maybe have like mac and cheese for every meal. But on another day, I try to like push myself. So I'll just say, you know what, I'm going to get up at this time tomorrow. It might be a little earlier than I normally do, and I'm just going to enjoy the extra 15 minutes of my morning. So I think when we work from home, it's really hard to make schedules. I mean, I think every business owner, anyone that works from home, even part-time, can relate to sometimes you wake up and you're like, I don't really need to get up because I can sleep in if I want to. But just kind of pushing yourself a little bit without being overwhelming. So I almost, it's like I set little goals for myself. So for instance, last night I kind of made a to-do list of like, I'm going to get up at this time. I'm going to get my emails done by this time. I'm going to give myself a half hour break at this time, that kind of thing. it just kind of helps me lay out my day, kind of see what's ahead. And then it gets me excited because I know the things I'm going to get done, the things that I'm going to work on. And then once that 5 o'clock alarm hits, I'm done for the day. So really just trying to keep like a set schedule instead of working those like 5 to 9 hours because you have to have all the hustle. I think there's something to be said about being smart and putting systems into your business and just doing working from 5 to 9, doing work that's really not getting you anywhere. I think you need to be strategic in what you're doing. So I have like online business. What's the word I'm looking for? It's HoneyBook. So it's like a system organizer. It organizes my whole business, my clientele, my cash flow, everything. And then just as far as editing, like systems I have for that. So it's kind of taking those pain points or those things that might take more time than they should or cause us a little stress because there's so much to do and simplifying them. And for some people, that might mean outsourcing. So virtual assistants, editors, and this is just from a photographer's perspective. Obviously, there's other kind of creative businesses out there, but outsourcing the pain points, the things that do stress you out, being able to be like, I can't handle doing this because it makes me feel a certain way. I need you to do this for me. And yes, you're going to have to pay that person, but it ultimately kind of resolves in like more business for yourself. So I think it all kind of works out. But that's kind of what works for me. I'm a big goal setter. So setting goals and personal goals for myself each day or each week and just trying to better myself. And just always thinking back to like choosing joy, being the best I can be, and like how I can affect other people doing that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I think it's just important. It's an important reminder to us that, you know, you're going to have these feelings. You need to, like you said, kind of deal with them how you need to deal with them. But you also need to look at the root of, you know, your business and your balance and your expectations on yourself. I think we need to go a little bit easier on ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
So where can people – no, before we get into the last thing, there was one more thing I wanted to say. I also like that you – when I emailed you, you had an autoresponder up that I think you always have up, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that for a second.
So I actually used to not have an autoresponder probably like a year ago because I felt like it's an annoying thing and my clients or even inquiring clients would just be pushed away by it. But – I realized that if I wanted to stay sane and not wake up to 75 emails in my inbox every single morning, that I needed to let people know, hey, I got your message. I'm taking time to do other things right now, but I'm going to get back to you in 24 hours, that kind of thing. Because it just, I mean, it does make me look more professional than just not responding for 3 days. But it lets them know right off the bat, like, hey, I'm hearing you. I'm seeing what you're writing, but I can't respond right now because I can't put myself in the position where I'm going to stop and like everything I'm doing just to answer one email because then I get sucked right back into my inbox. And I think that's so hard for people because clearing that inbox is like our number one goal. And so anytime we get one email or an inquiry, we think we have to get at it right away, but it's really not true. There's a difference, like I said, between just trying to hustle and doing just aimless work and having actual strategy. So I think having that system has really helped me with that and just realize like I don't have to be a perfect person, but I just need to be organized. And so I would recommend an autoresponder to all my fellow business owners out there.
Yeah. And the same goes for, I actually just set this up. My sister's a realtor. So she also works one-on-one with clients. And so she gets a lot of phone calls in the evenings and on the weekends. And so I kind of stole the idea from her that in my voicemail now I say my business days, my office days are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because I'm only in the office 3 days a week. If this is a day, if this is not one of those days, you know, email me here. And when I'm back in the office or when I'm back in the office, I don't know. It's obviously I said it better in my voicemail, but it sets that expectation. So the thing that was stressing me out the most was like if I got a voicemail at, I don't know, 7 o'clock at night on Friday, or even an email at 7 o'clock on Friday, I felt like, oh, it's just going to sit there all weekend. And I felt really bad. So if my voicemail says that I'm gone, and I do, I'm not consistent 100%, but I need to start to be more, with putting up my out of office, even just for the weekends, because let's face it, our clients are going to email us when they're home, which is probably evenings and weekends. So if we put up our out of office and we say, yeah, I'm not going to respond to you this weekend, I'm going to respond to you, you know, in the next week, or I'm going to respond to you Monday or Tuesday, that's what it is. And then you feel better. I was sad to find out that I was trying to like set it up through Google Voice because a lot of clients now are texting me. And so I was trying to figure out a way to do like an autoresponder on text, which I think you're not supposed to do. Like, I think that Google Voice does not approve of that setup, which is so silly because like people are literally, I've literally gotten text inquiries and I'm like,
No.
Yeah. So my sister was like, well, you just need to have like a copy and paste that you paste in and it says like, hi, my office hours are these. And you know, that's that. So
yeah, like just take notes or something.
What's that?
And then just putting it in your notes in your phone and then copying and pasting it would probably work.
Yeah, I might have to do that. Yeah, you can't do it automatically because of like spam purposes or something like that. Or like I haven't figured out a good way to do it that won't make Google kick me off Google Voice. But I will keep you posted if I figure it out. But anyway, yeah, having that kind of expectation set so that you don't feel bad. Oh, and last thing, and I think I said this in a previous episode, but or maybe in our last conversation, I used to reply to people on Monday and I would say, I'm so sorry for the delay. And my friend pointed out, like, no, you're not. You shouldn't be sorry that you took the weekend to spend that time recharging or do what you needed to do for yourself. So she said, instead of saying, I'm sorry, say, I hope you had a good weekend. And so now I try to do that. I'll intentionally wait and then I'll say, I hope you had a good weekend. So it's just the little things in expectations.
I totally relate with that. I'm like the biggest, like, sorry person. I say sorry for every reason, even if there's nothing to be sorry about. I'm so guilty of that. I've been trying to stick to like, hope you had a great weekend and have a great week and that kind of thing, because otherwise I do the same thing. Sorry for the delay. Sorry to get back to you when I was with my family.
Right?
Like, it's really ridiculous. Right. But we feel bad, feel inclined to apologize because we want them to book with us, obviously, and we want them to know that we're there for them, but we need our own time.
Right, exactly. So why should we feel bad for having balance in our lives? I think that we just have to do what we can to set expectations in as many places as we can, and that will help to manage that and help us not feel bad. So anyway, any other thoughts? Anything I missed there?
I don't think so. I think we covered most of it.
Okay, so Tara, then why don't you end by telling everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so my photography side of things is Tara Elise Photography. That's Tara with an H. The H is silent. So website, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, all the things, same name. And then my lifestyle blog where I talk about creating your best self. And I just share a lot of things that I'm passionate about, like style and beauty and things along and travel as well. That's Bloom and Wander. So Bloom and Wander.
Perfect.
And that's all the platforms too. So you'll see me on the same platforms, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, all this stuff. So come follow along.
Awesome. Yep. And I'll put those in the show notes too, so you can find that at photofieldnotes.com.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.
Hey, this is Allie again, coming back with one final thought. I was thinking about the whole essential oil thing, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and create a little freebie download of my favorite essential oils that I've used just personally that have helped me stay calm when I'm feeling anxious. So just disclaimer, I don't sell essential oils. I'm not a doctor. These are just the things that I have found to be useful for me. So if you want more information, you can go, you know, find somebody who is a distributor and ask them. But these are my favorites. So if you go to photofieldnotes.com/anxiety, you can get more information from the show, and you can also get that little download of my favorite things to diffuse. So I'll diffuse them in the room at night to help me sleep and get clear my mind. You know, as a business owner, you're always thinking about the things that you can do next. I'll diffuse it in the room when I'm working just to stay calm. And I'm telling you guys, it's helped me a ton, so you might as well check it out. So again, it's photofieldnotes.com/anxiety if you want to get that list. All right, talk to you next week.